the more excited I get, not about New Testament principles, because I believe New Testament principles without New Testament power are lifeless. They're important, but they're nothing if they don't have a New Testament power that exalts a glorious person whose name is greater, whose fame is greater, and whose flame is greater. And when that happens, it's wonderful. I sing to myself. Nobody ever asks me to sing, so I just sing to myself. If I try to, Lord, to live for you today, if I try to walk in your wonderful way, then all of my life would be me and not you. And none of your glory would ever shine through. And if you're worried what people will think about you, don't go on the road to discipleship. But if you're concerned what God is going to think about you, forget men and others and follow Jesus as closely as you can. And God, as our dear brother opened it tonight in a very special way, will make your life a channel of blessing. That's right. Speak, Lord, in the stillness. If we don't go home from this meeting tonight, O God, moved by the Spirit and by the Word, then there's no hope for this world, or for our families. But Father, may we leave this building tonight saying, I want more of Jesus. More and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I want more of His great love, rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I give Him more of me. Father, take us each one from this place to be living as advertisements to your power and your glory, advertising the greatness of the name and the fame and the flame of Jesus Christ our Lord. And if there's anyone with a hurting heart tonight, O Lord, here, and I'm sure there is, may they discover, as never before, what a friend we have in Jesus. Just before I say amen with every head bowed, I want you now, I'm going to say amen, and I just want you to take, don't move for a few moments. There must be somebody in your life you want to pray for now. There must be someone on this island or somewhere else you want to pray for. Just before we go, let's take a few minutes. I'm going to say amen, and you just take that few moments and pray for that dear one tonight in Christ's name. Well, first of all, I'd like to commend Ross and the choir. Wow, that was good stuff. Really got my spiritual adrenaline running there when I came in. And we're going to meet you in the air. Amen. And we're glued to these pews, see? I hope the Lord's got a 2x4 with him when he comes. He's going to take to that to get some of us off the seats. Amen? Anyway, that was great singing. Choir, terrific. Great to be with you tonight. I was struggling today, believe it or not. Don't struggle every day, just every second day. But I was struggling. I was praying about what way would be best to talk about tonight and share with you. And as you know, in the past, I've always gone with some object lessons and things and other things that we've put together. I'm thinking there'd be more younger people, but I want to try and get our teenagers tonight and our old ages too, but I want to just share with you the joy of knowing and living for Jesus Christ. It is powerful. And as I was thinking of it, my object lesson thinking of the smaller ones was the cell phone today. I mean, these are amazing little things. Mine is very cheap to run because it's got no service here. No service. So it doesn't cost me anything. But, you know, they're wonderful when we're in the States because wherever we are, our boys can get us. But you know what? It's interesting, a man did a survey on the cell phone. And when he did a survey on the cell phone, he came up with this conclusion that people were talking more than they had ever talked before and were saying less. And he admitted to eavesdropping on a lot of cell phone conversations. And he came up with the four most used phrases on cell phones. And I jotted them down. I thought they were good. Number one, guess where I am? Have you used it? I'm sure you have, haven't you? Number two, what did you say? Number three, you're breaking up. Number four, I'll call you back later. And I thought about these four things that I use so much every day when we think of it. And bring to your mind, guess where I am? What did you say? You're breaking up. I'll call you back later. I began to think of these things parallel to the Christian faith and to the Christian gospel, and my mind immediately went to John chapter 14, where the Lord Jesus is in the upper room. And there in the upper room, he's talking to his disciples, and he's about to leave them. Now, I tell you what, it must have been a heavy duty time for the Lord Jesus and for them, because he was heading to the cross, and he had the cross before him, and they had spent this time with him. They had seen him do mighty things. Can you imagine having been a disciple of the Lord Jesus and seeing so many wonderful things? A little boy's lunch taken and blessed and over 3,000, 5,000 fed. To ever think of seeing a blind man, the blind be made to see and the lame to walk and the deaf to hear. And you know, and I am very glad that when the Lord was in the boat, a great storm arose. So even when Jesus was there, there were great storms, wasn't there? And, you know, but he could calm them. That was a wonderful thing about it. And so we discover that the first question, guess where I am?
And the Bible tells us, we read it here, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6, no one comes to the Father but through me. Guess where I am? Jesus says, I am, if Jesus is the way, then my friends and young folks, we're lost. We're lost. Sometimes in Britain they used to have a little sign on the back of their car, don't follow me, I'm lost. My dear friends, are you lost? Well, Jesus said, I'm the way. I know a lot of young folk who are lost. They're lost eternally. They're lost in time. Because the generation above you and the generations above you have messed up this world so much that you're lost. You don't know where to go. You don't know what the right standards are. You don't know what moral standards are. And because they're not presented to you in the world. Now, if you come to church, they are. And so we find people are lost. But we're lost basically because of one big problem. Maybe some of the young boys and girls here can help me on this one. We're lost because of a disease called sin. Can anyone tell me what the center letter of sin is? Can you spell it? You don't need a degree either to spell it or do it. In fact, you can do it before you can spell it. Can anyone tell me what's the center letter of sin? I. That's it. He got it. I think I heard him whispering it. I. So the problem is my personal rebellion, not against my mom, my dad, but against my brothers, my sisters, or any authority, but against God. And so where am I? Well, where many are tonight, my friend, they're lost. Because Jesus said, He's the way. Good to be in the right way, isn't it? Good to be in the right way. A friend of mine has a Chevrolet dealership. And he was showing me how to work and this wonderful OnStar. And it doesn't need towers. It uses satellite. And it was in his area. And he got on and he must have told the lady my name beforehand. And this voice came through the radio. Hello, Mr. Clunas. I said, hello. I said, do you know where I am? And she said, yes. You are in the parking lot of Calusi Chevrolet in Bridgeville, Pennsylvania. She knew exactly where we were. God knows exactly where we are. We're lost. Long before there was OnStar, there was the throne of God in the heavens, and the eyes of the Lord went to and through throughout the whole earth, and it was to present himself strong on the behalf of them that fear him. But you know, the Lord knew our condition. He knew we were lost. But he knows where we are. But do we know where we are? And so Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. And so we follow that path. And we come to the cross. Here's the way, because the cross is where he takes that burden of sin and he takes it away and he forgives us. I remember one night in Peterhead in Scotland, where we were for 3 years, after the evening service, two boys and a girl came to see me. The girl was 10. Her sister was 6. And the boy was 6. I said, can I help you? They said, yes. Hey, we want to get saved. I said, you want to get saved? Oh, well. So I said to one of the elders, will you take the young lady of 10 and I'll take the 2 6-year-olds. And I sat down with my Bible and I was amazed as I was listening like tonight and hearing you young folks quoting scripture. And I was amazed as this young boy of 6 and this young lady of 6 began to tell me why they needed Christ. And they began to tell me because they were sinners and that Jesus had died on the cross of sinners and they needed to be forgiven. And I was getting a theological discourse from 2 6-year-olds. And I said, what have you got to do about it? They said, we've got to ask Jesus into our hearts to be our Savior. Should we like to do that? Oh, that's why we're here tonight, Mr. Prince. And the two of them accepted Christ, and the 10-year-old accepted Christ, and the girl next door that they played with, her mommy was interested and said to the girl's mom, hey, how do you become a Christian? And the girl's mom was a wee bit shy, and she said, well, you know, I didn't like to preach to her. So finally, in desperation, the mom of the girl next door said to this wee 10-year-old, who was only saved 3 weeks herself, she says, how do you become a Christian? She says, you confess your sin to Jesus, and you ask him to make you clean, and then come into your heart, and go down and see the preacher, and he'll pray with you. 10 years of age, not only saw the lady saved and baptized, and her husband was a backslider, he got restored, because a little 10-year-old shared the faith in simplicity. Isn't that a wonderful text? A child shall lead them powerfully. Where am I? Where are you? You're lost. You don't know where you're going. In time or eternity. My dear friend, Jesus said, I'm the way. You come to the cross. You take me as your Savior. And I will forgive your sin. One day our doorbell rang. We lived on the main street in Peterhead on the way out. Oh, it was about 8:45 at night. And there I opened the door and there was a lovely lady and a girl of 8. And I says, come on in. I says, what can I do for you tonight? And this lovely young girl of 8, she said, I need to get saved. And her mother said to me, she said, you know, we were driving up the hill. And she looked at her mother as she was driving and she says, I need to go and see John Clunas. She says she needed to get saved. And she got saved that night, wonderfully clear. Don't think children don't know. Don't think you Sunday school teachers have wasted your time. You put the seed in their heart and God will make it germinate through the power of His Spirit. And 8-year-olds and 6-year-olds will get saved. A 5-year-old was sitting in a gas station in Peterhead while the father was in paying for the gas. And she said to her mom, she says, I need to get saved. And the mom says, wait till your daddy comes out to the gas station. She says, I can't wait. I need to get saved now. And she began to pray in the seat in the back of the car to ask the Lord into her life. My dear friends, you're never too young to get saved. And you're never too old to get saved. And when you get saved, you'll know you're saved. Because I remember at a children's talk the next morning, one of the Sunday mornings, I had over 30-odd children out. And I said, can anyone give me a wee testimony of when they got saved? And we had that 8-year-old. and a six-year-old boy with a microphone telling clearly, not prompted, right on the spur of the moment. And what shook my wife and I was, they knew exactly the day, the time, almost the moment when they had got saved. By the time that wee girl had gone to bed that night, she had phoned round Peterhead. Peterhead's a wee bit like, you know, Spanish Wells, you know what you've had for breakfast, you know. And it moved that she had given her heart to the Lord. You know, my young boys and girls, you need to trust Jesus. Where am I? But my dear friend, very quickly, what did you say? There's a lot of folks saying a lot of things in the world today, but God's message is very clear, singular, and it's truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. There's nothing confuddled about God's message, is there? It's a clear message. The hymn writers have written about it. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus says, there's nothing mysterious about that. There's nothing in a fog about that. That's clear, isn't it? We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Paul says, he says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And John writes, for God so loved the world that he gave him his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's message is clear. My friend, you might not be sure of tomorrow, the weekend, the day after, or the day after that. But you can be sure of eternity. You have Christ in your heart. I'm sure you've seen and remember from Sunday school the wee chorus we used to sing. You remember it? With Christ in the vessel, we can what? Smile at the storm, eh? As we go what? Sailing home. Sometimes folks say to me, where are you going, John? I say, I'm on my way home. And the more folks I've got in that home now than I have in this home. Margaret and I look at each other now. But with a lot of folks up in the other home, and everyone that goes into the heavenly home makes you say, I'm on my way home. God's message is clear. He said, this is truth. I'm going to tell you. Follow me, I'm the way. Get rid of your sin. Come to the cross. Get rid of your sin. Trust me, I'm the way. The message is clear. And it's clear, and you can hear what I say. But I tell you, if you don't heed the message, my friend, you'll start on earth saying, I'm breaking up. I'm breaking up. I'm breaking up. Oh, my friends, young in age, and not just old ages, but the young ages are falling apart too. Did you know that? Young folks, I'm going to tell you, if you want to glue your life together, get Jesus glue. It goes right on into eternity. Hallelujah. I'll tell you. And if you walk with him, he'll tell you when you're walking wrong. Oh, he tells you. If you want to know, he'll tell you. If you meet him every day, he'll tell you. And he'll put you on the right road again. You'll do wrong and he'll forgive you and he'll bring you back again. But I'll tell you what, my friend, you'll never break up. You'll be a new person because this is what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 5:17, my favorite verse. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away and everything has become you. Do you know what? That happened to me when I was 18 years of age. And if God blesses me till February, I'll be 65. And you know what? It's still new. It's still new. My dear beloved, sweet Margaret's there. And I go home sometimes and I say, Margaret, I feel I got saved last night. I can't help it. Or do I have times when I think God doesn't want to talk to John Glimmers? Oh yes, I get times like that too. But I hang on tightly because you see, dear friends, His grip is stronger than mine and He'll never let me go when the fog descends. Sometimes, you know, when you go through those clouds in the plane, you just hope there's not another one stopping at McDonald's in the middle of the plane. You know, and you're saying, I hope there's not. You see, how does this fella know? He can't see anything but clouds out there. And then he come down and you see the airport and you say, oh, good, safe landing. Sometimes we go through the clouds, we can't see where we go. But there's a day we'll land, and it'll be on heaven's shore, and it'll be a safe landing, and it'll be a guaranteed landing. And I'll tell you, there'll be a crowd of folks waiting to meet us when we get there. Amen? There's going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. Oh, that's an old one. That was lovely. That was sweet. And I'm going to meet you over there. Will I? Where are you? I'll call you later. God doesn't say, I'll call you back. You know what God says? He says, today, if you shall hear my voice, harden not your heart. He says, today, listen, my message is clear. Respond today. You know what God is saying to you tonight as we close? Do you hear me now? Do you hear me now? You need to get saved. You need to trust me. The cross wasn't to give us an Easter holiday. It was to bring you into eternity. Saved by the precious blood of the Lamb. Do you hear me now, God saying? You see, God's message, my dear friend, is powerful. It's now. And it's very clear. Do you hear me now? You know what he says today, if you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. Amen? We used to sing with the boys and girls, you know, sin is like a big burden, and we're bowed down with it, and old Pilgrim looked up there, and he saw the cross, and the bands that held the burden, they had broke. And someone wrote a wee chorus and said, I lost it on Calvary's hill. It tumbled and tumbled until it rolled out of sight. I was happy that night when I lost it on Calvary's hill. And you say, well, Mr. Clunas, do you will we go to heaven in a magic carpet? Not on your life. You'll not go to heaven in a magic carpet. You see, Christians are like a tea bag. Did you know that? Did you know that Christians are like a tea bag? They're no use until they're in hot water. When has the church been at its best? When the world's been hammering at its door and trying to shut its mouth. And you put God's people in hot water and you'll have a revival. You'll have a movement. I love tea. In fact, I love that wee chorus. It says, never have a face like a coffee pot. Coffee pot. Do you know that chorus? Coffee pot. Never have a face like a coffee pot. Coffee pots are long and thin. Always have a face like a teapot. 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 Always have a face like a teapot. Other souls than Jesus. That's like teapot. Smile at you. Coffee pots are long and thin, aren't they? Ross won't take coffee because she's been saved from these things. I won't take it because I want to die of natural causes. I love that hymn, Glorious Things of Tea Are Spoken. You know that hymn, right? The more hot water you're in, the stronger you come for Christ. You show me a man that's standing firm for God and the truth, and I'll show you a man and woman who's come through a lot of hot water, and God is using for His glory. Amen? I tell you, I don't want to be counseled by anybody who's never experienced any problems. I want to be counseled by the man who's been through the deep waters. There's a lovely wee hymn in the hymn book, and I close. It's Shady Green Pastures. You know that one? Some through the waters, some through the flood, but all through the blood. Years ago, in the town that Rod Sharp comes from, there was a family, well, a lovely Christian family. There were two boys and two girls in the family, all in their teens. Their mom went into hospital and had an operation, and she was coming home, and their dad was working so hard to prepare for her coming home. And the family getting the house ready. And in the process, he died. Then they got her home, and she died. And I was running gospel meetings in the next town, and somebody said, have you had that family to sing? And I said, I don't know if these teenagers could sing. In their grief, they've been left with a house, but no mum and dad, and they're all in their teens. They'll never forget the night. These girls stood up and sang in Shady Green Pastures. God leads His children along. Some through great waters, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Amen? And I remember, and I thought, wow, I wonder if I could handle that the way these dear teenagers have handled. Let me tell you this, my dear friends, my dear young folks, you're not too young to be a godly teenager. Can I tell you one more story and I will finish? This is exciting. I wanted to tell you in the spirit, but I will finish. But I was up preaching in the Cowboys in Montana. I told some individual friends this. It was the most moving experience I've ever had in my life. And we told the Bible class on Saturday, Sunday morning, but the young folks didn't get it. I want to share this with you. And on a Sunday evening, the young folks led the service. It was packed. The little town is at the gates of Yellowstone Park. There's a move for God in the school, and 60% of the children in the school are born again Christians. Isn't that wonderful? Reverse peer pressure. So they were there taking this, so only 500 people in the town. And they were singing about the power, as the girls were singing tonight, and the power of the name of the Lord. And I was saying to them, you know what? You know what you need to do? Oh, you need, just as I was, they were singing the choruses, and I was singing off the screen with them, the Lord spoke to me and said, John, tell them if they want my name and my power, they need to send me an email. Not an email, but a K-N-E-E mail. And I got up and I told them that. I said, you know, the Lord has just spoken to my soul. He's told me to tell you this. If you really want the power you were singing about in the chorus, you better learn to send God an email. So we came to the end of the service and I didn't know how to close it. And just like that, the Spirit took over. And I said, maybe now's the time to send an email to the Lord. To tell him that you need his power, you need to get saved, you need to get blessed, you need to be filled with his Spirit. I said, I'm going to kneel down here, and I went, and a wee while later I felt the juggling, and I looked around, and the young folk were there. I stood up in a sight I have never seen in my life, in all my years of preaching. The whole fellowship were on their knees before God. Pray. I says, how do I close this, Lord? Do I tell them to go home? Say amen, go home. Thank God. You know, thank God he doesn't stop doing business when the service finishes, you know. You might wake up in the middle of the night under conviction of sin. If you do, come down to the apartment and knock on the door. I will be so thrilled to be waking out of sleep to lead you to Christ. Or to pray with you. That's what it's about. And I said, well, take the person next to you and pray with. And they began to pray. I said, that's how we'll close our meeting. Pray for each other. And then I let it be. And people got up quietly and left. And people sat on their knees and prayed. There was business being done with God. Oh, I tell you, my friends, I'll tell you what, it knocks the socks off you when you see God doing business. You sit in awe at the power of the Almighty. You think the hurricane's something. I'll tell you what, my friends, if God touches your and my heart, it'll take more than a hurricane to do it. How many hurricanes in my heart? And the hurricane has got to happen not out there, the hurricane's got to happen in here. Amen? But when it happens in here, what a difference. Let's just stop for a moment as I close in prayer. And let's just take a moment to just quietly pray for these boys and girls here tonight. Pray for our teenagers. Teenagers, pray for yourselves. Pray for your friends. But let's just take a quiet moment and I will close in prayer. But just let, I'm not asking you to kneel, I'm just saying, just send a message to the throne of grace that you need his touch in your life tonight. Our God and Father, we are overwhelmed by the immensity of the waves of sin that billow over us. And sometimes, oh God, we feel so insufficient as we see the things around us smashed. The standards, lives, But we come to you because you're a sovereign Lord. And you're all powerful. And you can take broken hearts and broken lives and take them down to the house of the potter. And you can make them new. Lord, touch every life here tonight for Christ's sake. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things are so strange in the light.